to generate a little bit of income because there's no cash supply. There's lots and lots of pressures that are on women.
So they get the pressures from all angles. Do you get a sense that the women, rural women, are less inclined to take the time out to care for their physical and mental health?
Definitely. I know a lot of women that I consult with in my practice sometimes say, I was too scared to because I didn't... I was worried that once I started talking, I wouldn't be able to stop. Or once I opened up, everything would come out. So there's that feeling of I've just got to hold my breath, get through this, there will be light at the end of the tunnel and everything will be okay. And sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes women do run out of steam and it can become really difficult. So that idea of having to hold it all together for everybody else's sake can become really tough.
When we were speaking to Alison on Wednesday, you heard her tell us there that more women than men actually attempt suicide. Now, that shocked me. Have you seen evidence that supports that?
Yes, definitely. That's not just in the rural sector. That's across the board. So there's a higher level of attempted suicide for women, but a higher level of completed suicide for males.
And what do you attribute that difference to, the fact that men who commit suicide go through with the act, whereas women, the attempted suicides don't result in so many deaths? I don't want to sound insensitive here, but I just wonder why there's the difference.
Look, there are a lot of unique differences between the two. Probably one of the main differences is around the methods utilised in attempted suicide. So most a lot of people will tend to use a method that they're more familiar and comfortable with. So men, for example, there's a much higher rate of suicide attempt with lethal methods such as firearms. So the unfortunate thing with a person attempting suicide with an extremely lethal method is that the rate of completed suicide is much higher. For women, often the familiarity isn't with such lethal methods of attempt, and that's not saying it's cut and dry like that. This is statistically broad generalisations. Yep. But there's a higher rate of attempted suicide with use of overdose drugs. So if a person does take an overdose of medication, there is a period of and an opportunity for intervention, whilst unfortunately when people choose extremely lethal methods such as firearms, there's a very limited space for intervention.
Is there more to it than the means that's available, though? I wonder if perhaps for women are more likely to be a cry for help in their instance?
Look, I don't think a suicide attempt can ever be determined as a cry for help. I think for a person, if they get to a point of contemplating the end of their own life, that's a very, very serious and dark place that they are in. So, as I said before, there are multiple different factors that are in play for a person when they are contemplating suicide and the method that they utilise for their attempt. And it varies, it really is a unique thing for each case. Yeah. And I think sometimes it can be dangerous to make broad generalisations saying one gender or one culture will do this.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can't, I guess you get the same time, you can't ignore the difference in those statistics either, can you?
Oh, no. Mm. And I think what that means, one thing that it's saying is that rather than it saying it maybe as a cry for help, is just recognising that maybe we're not providing enough support. Maybe there are things that are happening that we're not detecting, because really suicide, an attempt at suicide is that end point. That's the last place that we ever want a person to get to. So what those statistics are saying to us is that we should be doing more people don't get to that space.
What should be done? What can be done particularly to break down the isolation?
A lot of it has to come back to the individual. And I said before that idea of feeling the responsibility and the burden of having to hold everything together, not wanting to reach out for help, whether it be as a recognition of a sign of weakness or fear or any of those things. But the first first step that has to happen in order to support women in rural and remote areas is that they first of all need to support themselves. Mm. We need to stop. I'm a, as well as being a psychologist, I'm a wife in a farming family, I'm a mother, I'm all of those things of the people that I do most of my consulting with. And I know that it's really tough. I know that it's hard when you are in the middle of a really tough time to start to prioritise your own needs. But if you don't look after yourself, you can't look after anybody else.
Yeah, but that your point there is it's much easier to say it than actually do it. How do you bring about the change in behaviour?
Well, definitely things, bringing up the dialogue. I think what ABC's done this week has been phenomenal in getting the message out, getting people talking about it, recognising it. So I think the first thing is creating the dialogue. The second is, I suppose, reminding people that the first step has to be with them. So reminding people that the responsibility is theirs to start to look after themselves, to create some healthy patterns and some healthy lifestyles. And the third step, I suppose, is around the services, making sure that the service is available. And when a person does reach out, that they're not going to reach a dead end. And to understand that it actually doesn't matter whether you live in Birdsville, whether you live in Walca, whether you live in a regional centre, there are services around. There are different ways of utilising and contacting people that can help you.
Are you looking after someone right now?
Yes, I have two little people that I'm looking after. And I think that's one of the things when it comes to... We're actually having a tea party under a tree whilst I talk.
But here's your point. You've always got many things to juggle, hey?
Yes,
the pressure builds. Yeah.
You do. And I had tried to organise somebody to look after the girls today so I could do this, and that fell through. And when you live in a rural area, there is no such thing as occasional care. You can't just dial a babysitter that's just going to turn up. So it's a constant juggle. And sometimes it can make you feel extremely inadequate. It can make you feel as though you're doing everything a half-baked job. And sometimes you feel as though you kick the odd goal as well. So it can have positives and negatives. But, yeah, it's not always easy.
Well, it sounds like I better let you get back to that tea party, hey?
Yes, no, it's looking fairly good. I don't know how many tea towels have been brought out, but we're going to have one hell of a tea party.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out to chat with us today. It's a really important issue. And as I said earlier, Lisa, one that gets overlooked from... more than time to time. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you.
That's Dr. Lisa Patterson-Kane, who is a clinical psychologist based in Walca in New South Wales. You're listening to Bush Telegraph on RN.